So, hi, and welcome to the 20th episode of the Language Mandarins podcast. My name is Jonathan, and today I have a very special guest, Brian Kwong of the Add One Challenge. And so thank you very much for coming on the show, Brian. How are you doing?
My pleasure. Doing amazing. Very nice catching up with Jonathan here.
Thanks. I've recently kind of been finding out more and more about the Add One Challenge. And for listeners out there who may not be familiar with it, could you tell us briefly about like how you hired to create this project?
How I created it? It was you kind of.
Sorry,
I kind of lost you.
I'll have to cut that. Yeah, can you tell us a little bit how you got inspired or how you decided to create this project?
So the Add One Challenge, when I first started, I was just basically trying to learn German to speak with my ex-father-in-law, who can't speak a word of English. So I was resisting learning German for a year and a half, and I couldn't get myself to do it. And then finally, I had the motivation to do it because my ex-father-in-law was just so great, and he was just embracing me. He was never pushed me, so I thought it's on me to learn German to speak with him. I can't expect him to learn English to speak with me, right? So I thought, okay, what can I do? And then I saw a blueprint of a 90-day challenge, and then I thought, let me make it fun. So let me do a 90-day challenge. If I can't hold a 15-minute conversation with my father-in-law, then I will have to wash his toilet and live with him for a week. So it's kind of like a punishment for myself. So when I don't want to study, I think of that, then I just go study, you know. So I did that. I did it. I documented the whole thing on YouTube. I spoke with my ex-father-in-law for 15 minutes. It was great. It's my first ever conversation with him. Imagine, I was living in Austria for a year and a half. I never actually had a conversation with him. Everything was usually before it was translated from my previous wife. And then so it was really great connecting with him for the first time. And then throughout the 90 days, I realized maybe I'm not the only person who needs some motivation and need accountability. And actually through the 90 days, I also was posting my update on Benny Lewis forum. And at the same time, a guy named Byron John was learning Mandarin in New York. He was living in New York. And I get so inspired every time I read his update. And so at the end of the challenge, I message him and say, hey, Byron John, thank you so much for updating me. If it wasn't for your update inspiring me, I may not have made it to the 15-minute conversation. And he said, what are you talking about, Brian? I was reading your updates. You're inspiring me. So that's when I realized, oh, we can actually inspire each other when we actually do this together as a community. So what the Add One Challenge does is a community of language learners around the world all aiming for the same goal of being able to hold a 15-minute conversation in 90 days.
Mm-hmm. And so it's a 90-day challenge. And do you start, when do the programs start in general?
It starts whenever, so before I just opened it once a month, but now I'm opening whenever we have 50 people. Whenever we have 50 people signed up, then we just start. Okay. It's not based on how I feel, okay, let me open one this month. It's based on the demand.
Okay. And is there a new one coming up soon?
Yes, there's a new one coming up next week. We are getting close there. So usually I don't wait until 50. Maybe when I'm approaching, I open it, and then the people who are procrastinating usually just sign up. So that's what I'm doing right now.
And how is the kind of retention rate on or do you have a lot of people who kind of carry over from one set of 90 days to continue for the next 90 days?
Oh, yeah. We have many. We have actually more than, I'll say more than 20-25%. Different challenges, different, but we have a lot of people coming back because once you learn a language this way, because nobody actually, I don't think anybody actually learned a language this way before the Add One Challenge. But once you start learning in a community, that you don't want to go back learning alone. It's just not fun anymore when you're doing it alone. So a lot of people come back.
Yeah, I definitely can relate to that. I recently discovered on the kind of Russian Facebook, the VKontakte, was it VK, a group called Language Heroes that's run by a Russian girl, Evgenia Kasheva, and she runs like a 12-week program that's inspired by Brian P. Moran's 12-week year book. And I think it's similar how the 12 weeks and 90 days, and I think also Benny Lewis, the Fluent in 3 Months. I think there's all this kind of similar concept out there of like 12 weeks, three months, 90 days. I think it's kind of different ways to say the same idea. But I definitely agree, a community-based learning environment is very supportive. I've also seen this in other situations that are not just for language learning. A couple years ago, I did like a detox program for like 3 weeks, and mm-hmm. there was like up to 90, 100 people in there. And just the fact that we were all kind of commiserating about the experience, because like a detox, it's kind of painful when you just stop doing coffee, stop doing sugar, stop doing just all these products. You're like, you're going through withdrawal symptoms, and other people are like, oh, I'm miserable. Like, when does this get good? And each day, somebody might have a bad day. Somebody else might say like, no, like hold on, don't give up. You're doing good. And then that person may have a bad day a couple days later, and the other person might come back and say, no, like I'm holding you accountable because you were helping me. So I've seen that environment where it's awesome when you get a very dynamic and supportive community. So I haven't yet done an Add One challenge. I hope to do one soon. And so definitely a community-based learning environment. Don't do it alone. I think I've heard you say that in one of your talks before.
No, people can do it alone if they want to, but it's just a lot more fun and effective when you're doing it with a community. The one thing I say is if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. That's what I said.
Oh, yeah, that's a wonderful quote. That's wonderful. And so does the Add One challenge, do you provide kind of a game plan or some kind of a mini challenges like per day, per week? Or is it each individual kind of determines their own course of study?
Each individual determines his own course, their own course of study, because everyone learns differently. You learn differently from me. Maybe something I find interesting, you find boring. There's not one size fit all, right? So one of the things that people say in the N1 challenges is that they learn more about themselves. Especially the first one, they learn more about how to learn language than the language itself sometimes. Especially the first time they ever done it, because most people don't know how they learn a language best. So in the N1 challenge, they discover and experiment how they learn best. So I don't provide that. However, what I provide is that throughout the past 2 years of doing the N1 challenge, I have a sense of where people are usually at different points of the challenge. For example, if they get really excited in the beginning, I tell them to don't get burned out. Just this is a marathon, not a sprint, you know. And on day 30, they may start to get less motivation and starting to want get a lot of result, but you know, maybe getting bored of their routine. So I tell them start to experiment new routines to see what's so I have emailed like a course that actually determined by those 90 days. It's a cycle that's been repeating for the last 2 years. So I provide support whenever, you know, people need support, and depending on what cycle they're in, what days they're in. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. I think there's a similar, I recently saw one of your emails and had that kind of a curve, or maybe I should do it over here with the video, a curve kind of going enthusiasm and euphoria, getting started, and maybe a slight dip when it gets challenging and there's obstacles, and then maybe a little bit more enthusiasm, and then maybe some kind of depression and a downward trend of what did I get myself into? But then eventually there's like this real big pickup of no, I can do this. I have to just kind of plow through and not give up. And there's a similar curve, I think, in the 12-week yearbook that has this, you start strong with euphoria and then the reality just kicks in. And I saw this with the challenge I did like in October to December, where I said, I'm going to do 2 hours a day of Russian. I'm going to read 90 short stories by Chekhov in Russian. And I failed. And I put in my commitment letter to myself, like, if I fail this, I'm going to give up coffee for a year. So I'm now in like about day 80 to 90 of no coffee in 2016. Nice. It's some days it's been a little difficult. I have been drinking a lot of tea, of tea. But I think that commitment of, like what you said, that the toilet bowl kind of, either you don't want to do something. But I think what's also more motivating, which I've seen you've been doing now, is like rewarding yourself. And I really like what you've done with the airplane ticket. So can you tell me a little bit about the winner, Jake Brown, and his Chinese studies? And how did that kind of, he was the first winner for the round trip for the flights. Can you tell me about him a little bit?
Sure. Jake Brown is 14-year-old. When he joined the N1 Challenge. And I remember specifically, he emailed me. He said, I'm Jake and I'm 14. Can I still win if I win the flight ticket? I said, as long as your parents read this email and make sure that they get that they need to pay for everything else. You know, I'm only paying for a round trip ticket. And then Jake's like, okay, yes, they read it. It's all good. So yes, of course he can win. So, you know, he studied Chinese in school, but was never, you know how it is when you study in school, you know, you get to the one size fit all thing is not very motivated and you don't learn things that you need, you know, so very slow progress. And then he did the N1 challenge and he was set on, I don't know what day he said he was going to quit if it wasn't the people in the community supporting him. And on day 83 or something like that, he said, I was just speaking. All of a sudden, I realized I'm just speaking Mandarin and I'm using vocabulary that I've never done before. It's like, wow. So, you know, it's, and then he won the flight ticket out of the first N1 challenge. So one person, one of the things that we give is one person gets to win one flight ticket, the round trip ticket to the target language country, wherever it is. So Jake went to Beijing with his mom in the summer for 7 days. And just imagine you're a 14-year-old, you learn a language, you can hold a 15-minute conversation in 90 days, and you have the opportunity to actually go to the country, speak the language, you know, eat the food and talk to people, you know, it's a really great experience. I mean, eye-opening experience for him. So of course it's in terms of business wise, for me, it's, of course there's expense, but I would do it because I know the difference that it will make for people. And also, serve as a motivator, because why I do it is also because we get motivated by many different things, not just one thing. So we just got to come in many different angles to actually help people to stay motivated. So that's the story of Jake. He was the very first winner. We gave away many more now. So it's been great. And you saw that we just gave away. Yeah.
Yeah. I just watched the finale for, was that the group, which group was that? 11?
11. Yes.
Yeah. And so I think there was John, Eli, and Amanda. So congratulations! Spoiler alert: if you haven't seen the finale video, but it's a really awesome way to be motivated, and like a really big carrot that's up in front. That like, when I was doing the Russian, I think there was a similar thing where the people voted for some of the more committed people, and I also was doing things on YouTube trying to record myself speaking in Russian, and I look at the day one at the beginning of October, and then I look at the kind of more of the end results in the end of December, and there's a lot of good feedback, a lot of good encouragement, and actually people voted me king of of that one. However, right now I'm not really living up to that name. I think in this second challenge, I've been in that kind of trough of how do you stay motivated? How do you stay focused? Really work on the time management skills. I recently had to end a full-time job, and now I'm launching my teaching website and this podcast. And so that has taken up a lot of organization and put the language learning a little bit on the back burner, unfortunately. But I've been getting a lot of useful tips and feedback from the polyglot community and the language learning community of just, I don't know, as like Ollie says, of just start in the morning, get it out of the way. And I think Lindsay kind of echoing that of saying like, just feel satisfied that you've done 10 minutes or 15 minutes or a half hour, and just don't kind of torture yourself throughout the entire day saying, oh, maybe this evening, if I'm free, I'll do a little bit, because that just, it doesn't work. And especially since I have kids, you can see I've got some of their artwork in here. Just adding in work, a family environment, it takes a lot of commitment. It takes a lot of motivation and determination and persistence with language learning. So definitely congratulations on you for building this community and definitely getting the support of the language learning community. So
thank you.
Congratulations on that. It's very inspiring.
Thank you.
And so if people want to sign up for the Add One Challenge, how can they get in touch with you, or how can they sign up?
Just go to addonechallenge.com and then you'll be able to join. So we open when we have 50 people. So once you join, you get five keys to how to get the most out of your challenge. Like what you talk about, the first email that you get is the enthusiasm curve. Like, you know, I'm basically setting people up to win. So I give them five keys first, and people usually get a lot of value out of those five keys. And then I will give them opportunity to, if they can apply, if they like to apply or not. And then when they apply, we review the application. And then once we accept it, and once we have enough people, then we will start.
Okay. And how it's to judge how people are progressing. Sometimes it seems a bit subjective, but because it's a little bit more tangible when you have somebody starting from zero, from scratch, and then getting to, I don't know, A2 level, or I don't know, B1, if that's possible in just the 3 months. But how is that process to evaluate? Is it more self-evaluation? Because you also have the polyglots who are kind of watching people's YouTube videos and trying to gauge their commitment and their motivation, and they're probably more familiar with those specific languages, so they can kind of tell if somebody's making progress. Mm-hmm. I think over those 3-4 videos, but how is that process?
You mean for the finalists?
Yeah, or and also getting to be a finalist and getting winning. What is that process?
Oh yeah, so that process is, we have 3 rounds of getting through that process. The first round is you need to fulfill the minimum requirements, which is you need to make the day 0 video, day 30 update, day 60 update, and the final day 90 video. Mm-hmm. And you also need to check in every day if you've done your work or not. It doesn't matter if you say you didn't do your work for 90 days, as long as you checked in, you qualify. And if you make the day, those videos that I talked about. And then everybody who fulfilled those requirements move on to round 2. And round 2 is community voting. Only people in the community voted can vote for three people. So everybody has 3 votes in the community, and then the top 3 who have the most vote go to the final round. And then once we're at the final round, we give the profile of the process of to the polyglots for them to watch the video, because they don't, they're not watching everybody's video, they're just watching the top three. Mm-hmm. And it's very, it is, it's, you know, it, at the end of the day, we're not really only looking at, we're not really only looking at the progress of your language. Yes, that's a big part of it. But, one, another big part of it is how are you contributing to community? You know, if you, because everybody, if you just really put in the work, you are going to progress. But if you don't support your friends, your community, then that's you're only progressing. You're not taking your friends with you. So there's that aspect, and there's, you know, there's that, that's pretty much how we, how the polyglots come up with a winner. If they have similar progress, they'll pick the person who has community contribution. And sometimes it's just very obvious that one person has just did really good job with the language, which is, so it really depends. And yeah, so that's kind of how we come up with a winner at the end.
I really like what you mentioned there, that it's not just the individualistic totally. Progress. It's a community first and foremost. So if it's all just a bunch of me, showing off and look how great I am, I'm not sure that's a very stimulating, or that creates maybe a competitive environment. And I don't think that's the point of community-based learning. I think it's important to have a little dose of humility and be willing to put yourself out there to kind of make mistakes. And but I think it's important to kind of help people, encourage people, and to adopt probably a let me help you first attitude instead of a help me or look at what I'm doing, or it's difficult to develop that. I see that in my Facebook group that has about 8,000 people in the world, and there are a lot of posts about, I'm learning this language, I need to find a native speaker, help me, answer my questions. And sometimes it comes across as just a bit kind of very egocentric. And I think some of the people who are a lot more beneficial in the community and a lot more supportive are the ones who kind of come into it saying, I speak these languages, I can help you. If you have questions, feel free to ask me. And just not focus so much on the first person, but kind of give back to the community, and the community will give back to you.
Totally.
Is what I've seen.
Mm-hmm. It always goes back to, if you want to go alone, you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. It's always going back to this. This is a lesson for people to learn. You know, some people are at whatever stage that they are, that's the lesson they need to learn, and hopefully they can learn it through language learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's something I heard you say in another interview was with, like, either you get the results that you want, or you get a life lesson. And I really think that's an important aspect of the language learning environment. It's not just the language itself that you're learning. You're kind of learning just all kinds of lessons that you can apply to everything across your life, of time management, persistence, determination, setting a goal, sticking with it, getting past failures, getting past mistakes, not being afraid to expose yourself to criticism or feedback.
And, that's exactly, if you read my emails, which seems like you're reading my emails, you see that's exactly where I'm coming from when I'm writing these things. I created that one challenge not just to help people learn a language. I want people to get life skill from that one challenge, so that they can apply it to all areas of their lives. So I'm in this to support myself, to make a living. At the same time, I'm here to change lives. For example, Jake is a great example. I'm sure I impacted his life in a big way. And that's why So go on.
Yeah, it's great to have those kinds of mentors. It's excellent to have mentors who have been on that learning path and have accumulated experience and who are just generous with their time and their feedback. And I think what really inspired me when I got started with my language learning is my high school French teacher, because I started with Spanish 20 years ago. And then 2 years after that, I decided to start with French. And then the next year, my final year in high school, my French teacher took us on a trip to Europe. So we were in Geneva for a week, yeah, and then in Paris for a week. And that was my first experience abroad. And just like, as you say, like being able to talk with somebody in the language. I remember making a fool of myself because we were there in spring break. So it was like Easter. Mm-hmm. And I just was saying hello, bonjour to these random people on the street and not realizing like I was just this crazy kid. You don't say hi to strangers on the street, even if you're in a tiny village. That doesn't happen. And I think that's how I learned some of the kind of the French culture of ça se fait pas, like you don't do that, and just all these cultural taboos. But my point is that trip abroad, that first experience, being exposed to the culture, spending time with those people, it really inspired me. And I wanted to go back to France. And so I got a bachelor's degree in French and graduated like 3 years later. Wow. And I've been living abroad for the past 13 years. I did six wow. in Paris and studied music at the Sorbonne. And then now I've been in Mexico City for 7 years. But all of that experience of my first trip, my first exposure to the culture was thanks to a teacher who organized a travel wow. experience. And so what you're doing with that, the plane tickets and that, maybe that is that first experience of, I'm pretty sure that was probably Jake's first experience going to yeah. China. And it's just, yeah. whoa, we have these life dreams of like, maybe someday. And I think I've heard Benny say this in one of his TED Talks of like, of all the 7 days in the week, someday is not one of them. Mm-hmm. So if you just make it little by little baby steps, some of these things that are in the distance, they suddenly just become up on the horizon. And then you get closer and closer and you're like, wow, this is possible. And it can become a lifestyle. Experience. I think for me, I spent half my life now with Spanish and French, and I can't imagine my life without those languages. And I even have children who don't have my experience of learning languages as a teenager. They have their experience growing up as trilingual English, Spanish, French speakers. And it's, I try to imagine what their world is going to be like years from now. And as the language learning community just keeps evolving and growing, and there's the technology aspect with the internet and the apps and all that. But I think what you have done with the community, it's really the people focus and connecting people to each other. I think that's a really important aspect of the language learning experience, is always keeping it focused on people and other people, not just the individual, that are ourselves, but.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, when we learn to speak a language, we're talking to some people. You're not talking to yourself, right? So it's learning. So if we incorporate that in the learning process, it's a lot more fun and it's a lot more effective that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like that aspect of the, like connecting with a person, and then you're talking to somebody. And I have language exchange partners who I've developed a really good rapport with over the last several months that the Facebook group has existed. And I can say today that those people are my friends. I have never met them in offline, but they are in Italy, they're in Russia, they're in South America, they're all over the world. But there's a connection and this common goal of learning a language. There's a bond there. And I've invested time, I've invested energy in their progress. And eventually there's kind of, they're investing in my progress. And so that kind of commitment and that kind of accountability really encourages me and really inspires me to keep learning.
Right. Right.
So I think that's definitely things that people can find in the Add One Challenge. There's been so many positive things that I've heard about it and a lot of positive feedback. So I definitely would encourage people to sign up for the Add One Challenge. And once again, can you just give it that the link?
Yeah, addonechallenge.com is addonechallenge.com, like number one. So add one, perfect. The idea comes up at one, you add one language at a time.
Perfect. Okay. So I'll thank you very much for your time and thank you for the community that you've built. I think it's a wonderful environment. And so
thank you.
I wish you a lot of success, future success with how it develops.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks. And I'll just say, if people are interested in taking some English lessons with me or hearing more about my language, Mandarin, you can visit my website, HugginsInternational.com. That's HUGGINS International.com. Or you can send me an email at HugginsInternational@gmail.com. So thank you very much for listening to this interview with Brian Kwong of the Add One Challenge, the founder. So thank you very much for coming on the show, Brian, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Goodbye.
All right.